Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Dean Blundell and Company. Listen online. Listen online at sportsnet.ca/590.
8:02, good morning. Welcome. It is Thursday, the 23rd day of June, and 15 degrees. We'll see a high of 27 later on today. Wonderful day for golf and to raise money for charity, which is where we go now, live to the Joe Carter Classic, Celebrity Classic. 7th annual, as a matter of fact. I was at the first one. And you thought, my God, does this get any better than seeing all these celebrities here and how first class the event is and how people are treated and why they're there, which is to raise money for children's charities. Welcome to the show, co-chair of the event and its namesake. You know him as the man. Please welcome Joe Carter, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. Joe Carter.
It's very good to be on the show again. You know, I was listening to the traffic report, and I'm like, we're here at 10,000 West Dufferin and Rutherford. There's no traffic here at all. It's nice and peaceful and quiet, and this place is getting ready to get rocking with the golf tournament. I'm happy for it.
Yeah, seventh annual. Thanks for doing this. How you been?
I have been doing good. Yeah, seventh annual. I mean, who knew back in 2010 that it would come to this? But you know, I look inside the room in there, and there's Chris Tucker, there's Cedric the Entertainer, there's George Lopez, there's Dr. J, there's Dan Marino, and Jim McMahon walking by, Sterling Sharp, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is you know, and it's all for a great cause, and the reason why we're here is for the Children's Aid Foundation. So let's not forget that. But to have these guys come out and support me and support Toronto and the Children's Aid Society, it is awesome. Love it.
Yeah, you know, and celebrities hear about it. You've talked to them. We've talked to a bunch of them over the years, talked to some this morning. You know, Barry Larkin was on. He was our first guest. He said, I do two golf tournaments, this one and another one, and I think the other one's his. But so he has to. But yes. You know, people are selective about their time, and there's, I said this earlier, there's no better, you know, there's no more important asset than your time, especially when you start creeping into, you know, the 40s and the 50s and middle age, and these guys have put their time in. So, you know, just speak to the time that these guys give, as well as yourself, but the time your friends give to come and support you for this cause.
Well, I mean, that is truly an honor, and I'm very grateful because, yeah, a lot of people do have a lot of tournaments, and, you know, I get inundated with, you know, hey, can you play in this tournament? Can you play in this tournament? And there could, if I wasn't married, I could probably play in about 80 to 90 tournaments a year, and that's what we get inundated with. And being on that, being on top of it, being, you know, a good golfer, so they want you to come to those events. But, you know, the time is very precious. I mean, you've got your family still. You've got other things you're doing, and guys like Barry Larkin and Dr. J, you know, there's only three or four tournaments that they will play in, but they make sure that this is on the map. And that's a credit to Toronto. That's a credit to all of our sponsors, to my good buddy James Dodds, the co-chair. You know, it's all about a collective effort of guys coming out and making this a very good success, because this is the one, you know, I said 7 years ago, I want to have the best one. I think we've accomplished that.
Yeah, absolutely. Annually it is. Joe Carter, the co-chair of the Joe Carter Classic, two-time World Series champ, joins us this morning as well. Wanted to ask you, you watched last year as your Kansas City Royals bested the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, I know you still live in KC, is that correct?
Yes, I live in KC.
Okay.
My Kansas City Royals. I was pulling for the team in blue.
Well, you can't say that because I'm smarter than that. But you grew up in Kansas City. You go to the Royals games.
No.
You don't go to Royals games?
No, I know. I think I was at the World Series games, but no, in my heart, no, I've always been a Blue Jay. And when they were playing the Royals, no, I was pulling for the Blue Jays. I was here for games 3, 4, and 5.
Yep.
You know, I'm saying if the Blue Jays get beat, then, you know, you couldn't ask for a better team in KC. And what they went through the year before, they were just destined, because that was a no-quit baseball team and had a great run the last 2 years. So, you know, I'm happy for Kansas City. But would I be happy Toronto win it? You darn right I would.
Yeah.
But now, you know, they beat my team last night, the Diamondbacks, or yesterday.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, working for the D-backs now, so I'm on the other side for now. But World Series comes around. If it's Arizona and Toronto, it's going to be very tough. But, We'll let it go. We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Let me ask you something. I know you work for the Diamondbacks as a consultant. Who decided on those jerseys, Joe?
You know what? I don't know.
You almost. I almost heard you say, "Not me."
Yeah. You know, if you know, certain things need to be planned out, and when you see the uniforms up close, the players, they love them. The uniforms up close in person are awesome, but when you see them on TV, it is a complete color block. It just disappears. You're like, what is that? It looks like military gear, you know, the charcoal gray and everything. But when you see them close up, they're great. So, someone in marketing did not take a look on TV, you know, the small little fine print. Look on TV and say, how does this look on TV? Because the home uniforms are great. It's just the road ones with the charcoal gray, with the teal,
yeah,
with the Sedona red.
Yeah,
they
look like pajamas, George.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I've said that when I first saw them, I go, whoa, who is that? I'm like, that doesn't look too good. So it may be some changes next year.
Okay,
hopefully.
Good. Just wanted to check. Joe Carter, I guess the co-chair and, of course, the namesake of the Joe Carter Classic, 2-time World Series champ. Now, if I'd have told you 7 years ago when I was there for day one, and it's always been a privilege to join you for that day, but if I'd have told you that 7 years ago you'd raise $1.5 million to this point, what would you say for children's charity? Would you go, come on?
No, I would have believed it, you know, because of my expectations here in Toronto, and I know what type of people that are here in Toronto. It is amazing to have the sponsors that we have, 70 to 80 sponsors, and they come back every year with TD Bank, Canada Goose, BlackBerry, Nike. I mean, it's to go on and on. Lug, I mean, it is amazing. And, you know, it's just like when I came here to play, my expectations were to win a World Series. And I'm not going to do anything half-hearted. I'm going to put everything into it. And that's what has been done here. We got a great committee and great people. But, man, it's, you know, I expected that. So I would have hoped we would have raised more money, to be honest with you, because the more money we raise, the more children that we can help.
Go yell at Dodds then. Do that.
We'll do. I'll do that tomorrow.
Now, yeah, do it. Don't do it today. And the last question I have: if I'd have told you Kelly Gruber wouldn't have made the team bus this morning, would you have been surprised?
No, I would not have been surprised. No, there's certain things you come to know. There's certain things that, you know, there's death, there's taxes, and death.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Kelly Gruber being late, yeah, that is right there with death and taxes. It's going to happen.
Hey, Joe, listen, as always.
He has to have a babysitter. He has to have a babysitter to kind of prog him along a little bit.
Most 50-odd-year-olds do. Don't you know that?
No, I don't.
Okay. Hey, Joe, listen, as always, wonderful privilege to have you on. Great to talk to you. Have a wonderful day, and enjoy your day. It's all for a great cause, Children's Charities, and for the Children's Aid Foundation. Thanks so much. Joe Carter from the Joe Carter Classic. Guess who's standing by? Guess who's standing by?
Dan Marino.
Oh, my God. How did you know? He's standing by. We'll get to him coming up next. Here's George with your update.
And Dean, it's brought to you by MazdaOfToronto.com. Blue Jays got homers from Russ Martin, Tulo, and Edwin in a 5-2 win over Arizona at Rogers Center yesterday. J-Hap was okay in five innings while the bullpen was nails. Jays off tonight before they open the lid on a three-game set in Chicago tomorrow night. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 1. It's official. Vegas is getting an NHL team for the 2017-2018 season. The NHL awards also went down last night with Pat Kane winning the Hart and Braden Holtby won the Vezina. And the NBA draft goes down tonight in Brooklyn. Raps have the 9th pick. Watch it 7 o'clock Sportsnet and the Sportsnet app.
Thanks, Georgie boy. It is 8:11. We continue with the Joe Carter Classic down at Eagles Nest Golf and Country Club. Please welcome to the program 9-time Pro Bowler and NFL MVP, former Miami Dolphin, now commentator, Mr. Dan Marino. Hey, yeah. Dan, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good. Thank you.
Now, how was
having some fun out here.
Yeah, already you are? Because it's not 11.
Sure.
Serving time's 11, Dan.
Serving time is 11, but yeah. We had a little breakfast, and I can start to hit some balls here, and I'm just looking forward to 11.
How long does it take you to loosen up for 18?
Not too long. Not too long. I usually just tee it up and go and play, not even worry about hitting balls.
Oh, trunk slam. We call those trunk slammers, Dan.
It's a trunk slam, yeah. Put your shoes on, change your shoes in the car in the parking lot, and go play.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done the full change in the parking lot. I don't know if you have, where you gear down, you take your jeans off, you put your shorts on, you just go.
You know, I haven't done that lately, but I have done that before.
Well, listen, thanks for doing this. As always, your participation is greatly appreciated by all those who show up to this thing. And you're surrounded by, and I know you're an NFL MVP, a 9-time Pro Bowler. We all know the name Dan Marino, but when you look around, you see some of the other guys. Do you get starstruck as well at this thing?
I mean, when you see like Dr. J, you know, guys like that are just all-time players in the NBA. I was growing up and loved watching him as a kid. Yeah, so it's not starstruck, but, you know, just the respect that Joe Carter, all the great players that are here, and it's fun to be around them, enjoy it. I was here last year, had a great time, wanted to come back, so I'm back, and it's a lot of fun.
Dan, shifting gears to your old team, the Miami Dolphins, Adam Gase now the head coach, their offensive guy from Denver. Is this a big transition year for Ryan Tannehill?
It's always a transition, I would say, for any quarterback, not only Ryan, but for when you get a new head coach and you're going to have a new system. And Adam has been great so far as, you know, I've been around a little bit, the team, and everybody's excited about him being head coach. And there's always transition, no matter what you say. When you have a new head coach, you have a new staff, you know, you're changing some of the players and, you have new free agents, and so there is transition, and it's a learning process.
Do the people of Miami believe in Tannehill as a true number one quarterback?
Well, yes, I would say so. Yeah, I mean, he's been our starter for a while, and there's no doubt that, as a team, the Miami Dolphins organization definitely believe in him, and I would say the fans believe in him too. Yeah.
What's the mood like in Miami? Obviously, the free agent did acquisition of Ndamukong Suh last year underperformed a little bit, and I know the coaching carousel was concerning, obviously, for the players. And consistency being maybe the most important thing in professional sports from a leadership perspective, specifically in the NFL. Some of the most successful teams have that consistent coaching managerial perspective that bleeds on down. Is this something that they're focusing on this year? You watch it, the NFL specifically, everybody gets fired. You know, you watch knee-jerk reactions. I can't say that did or didn't happen this last year, because I don't understand the Miami Dolphins organization like you do. But is that going to be one of the focuses? Let's get some consistency, and let's start breeding consistency here from the top down with the Miami Dolphins organization.
I think you're looking at it all organizations. I would say that's a case, and that you make a great point. I mean, if you look at the New England Patriots, and it's the consistency really with the quarterback and the head coach and the continuity, and all that is part of success, you know, winning in the NFL. And I think every team, the Miami Dolphins and every other team in the league, there's no doubt is looking for that, you know, that consistency, you know, each and every year being a team that's challenging for the playoffs and have hopes to be in the Super Bowl, maybe winning Super Bowls. And it's no different, you know, in Miami than it is anywhere else. And I believe that they're trying to get to that point where we can look at, you know, look at our team and say that we're going to be a consistent winner.
Dan Marino, our guest, of course, former NFLer, 9-time Pro Bowler, NFL MVP. Dan, the NHL announced they're going to Vegas, and we don't know if it's going to work. Nice. We think it's going to be fun. You know, it's a good excuse for the guys to head down for a road trip. But the NFL threatening to go there as well now with, Davis's son saying, hey, I'm going to move the Raiders here. We're going to get a bunch of tax money. Do you think an NFL franchise can work in Vegas?
You know, I think an NFL franchise, the way, the league is now and the popularity, I mean, I think it could pretty much work anywhere. I mean, the way, the players are today, the TV coverage, the fan support, I do think it could work there. I'm not sure that they'll, the NFL will go in that direction, but it'll be exciting to see, how the NHL does and how people respond in Las Vegas and how it works out there. And I think that'll be something that other leagues will definitely look at. As an example,
Dan, when you look at the league now in the NFL, how it's all pass happy and geared towards offense, do you ever think to yourself, man, I wish I was playing in today's league?
Yes. Plus, the money's a lot better.
Yeah. How much money? You watch
you. You guys laugh once. You guys are too serious, man. You're asking these all these serious questions, man. Laugh.
Well, you're like,
I wish I was playing today. I'd be making like $15 million a year. Come on.
15. Come on, Dan. Way more than
15
that.
Or
come
maybe
on.
More, but I'll take 15.
Yeah, but listen, let's have some fun then. How much? Because we talked to Boomer about this a couple weeks ago, and he said he could make $25 million.
All these serious questions.
All right, okay, here, Dan.
He said he would make 25.
He said he made 20.
I would never pay Boomer Esiason. I would never make him. I would never pay him $25 million. No way.
How much would you make? How much would you make per year? Give me some terms. Give me some dough.
There you go. So I don't know who's making the most right now. Whoever is making the most, I think I would be able to get that.
All right,
whoever that is, I think it's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, somebody. Yeah. I don't even know what they're making. I'm just
All right, here's a question.
I definitely wouldn't pay. I would never pay Boomer.
are you still cashing that isotoner glove money, Dan?
No, but I do get some residual checks from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective every now and then.
Oh, really?
See, that's important. Yeah, like $24. Every quarter, I get like a $30 check.
Do you laugh every time those things come in?
It was my best work. I love it. I got friends who want me to just sign it for them and give it to them, so they can have a check from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective for $24.
Dan, you go have fun today. Thanks for doing this for us.
All right, man. Have a good day, guys.
Enjoy
you guys
your
are
day.
Way too serious.
Dan, your all day. Right. Jay, have a great day, Dan. Dan Marino, well, you got it all serious there. You took it all serious.
Why are you blaming me?
Because we're joking around. You start talking about Adam Gase.
Yeah, and the Dolphins and Tannehill. People want
to
hear what
he wants to
Dan
talk
Marino
about. Who's the worst golfer he's ever played with? That's what he wants to talk about.
Right. Yeah, but people want.
He wants
to
talk about Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and he should have won some type of an award.
Yeah, laces out, Dan.
He wants to talk. You know what he wants to talk about? This is what he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about how much money he could make today.
Do you imagine how frustrating that might be?
For a lot of guys.
When he sees guys he's way better than, probably he's now even making way more cheddar than he ever did.
It's unbelievable. Well, you think in terms of the NHL too, and in Major League Baseball. I remember when, was it Mark Grace became the first $5 million guy in baseball, and they had the Sports Illustrated headline was, "When will it end?"
Yeah.
Guy that knows a thing or two about it, the chief baseball officer for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Maybe the greatest manager in the history of Major League Baseball joins us now, Mr. Tony La Russa, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Doing great.
We're just talking about.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for doing this. We're just talking to Dan Marino about the kind of money he'd make in today's NFL as a quarterback that can just flat out throw the ball. Does it amaze you some of the salaries in Major League Baseball and what's being paid today and what was paid to guys like you back in the day?
Well, guys like me couldn't play, so I never had that. It wouldn't matter then or now. But for the guys that could play like Dan in baseball, what's more impressive to hear, amazing or staggering? Because I'm staggered a lot of times by the deals that are being made. And it's just the amount of money and the number of years that are secured.
Yeah.
I think that there's if you're a player, it's a great time. If you're a fan, sometimes I don't think it works all that good for the good of the sport.
Yeah, it's wild because I was reading something not long ago that talked about how much money just flat out money back in the 70s, George Steinbrenner put up to buy the Yankees, and it was in the neighborhood of $144,000. Obviously, the rest of it was leveraged, but then then I remember that Ryan Sandberg article, or was it Mark Grace? I can't remember, one of the two guys for the Cubs. He got the first $5 million contract, and then A-Rod at $25 million. And then you're hearing stories like Bryce Harper, who may get $500 million. It just kind of like for guys that have been, and you've been around much longer than me, obviously, and obviously been involved in the sport. I haven't, but you think about it, and you think, how can teams survive like that?
Well, I think it's there may be an end of the rainbow in the sense that we've had a pretty long history now, almost 20 years or more of contracts that have gotten more expensive and now they're being pushed into more years. And I think that the end result has not been very positive for the game, for the fans, and even some players. They stagger under the expectations. They're not really happy when they're not playing to it. They have to get booed even though – they collect checks twice a month, but I think there's a chance that you're going to see a little more common sense. Not a lot now, but a little more common sense, or maybe you go 3, 4, 5 years, but you don't go beyond that, And you just realize that, I mean, whether it's Harper, not to pick him out or anything, but at some point, you know, it is a team game, and you have 24 of the guys that you have to, plus a lot more guys in the organization. So I think there may be a little downward trend.
Tony, with the slide rule now and the instant replay, do you like where the game's going?
I'm with the Diamondbacks now, but before that, after retiring at 11, was working in MLB for a couple of years, and I know exactly where they were talking about. You just cannot ignore the technology. You know, if you pretend that you're not going to do a replay and you just want to go the old-fashioned way where the umpires and you live or die with their judgment, it just wasn't flying. I mean, everybody at the ballpark were watching TV replays. And so I really think the replay was a smart move. I think it's curtailed to where, you know, you don't get in the way of the game except for the dramatic miss. And they've got it now. You know, the average time is under 2 minutes. So I like that. I also have to look, real carefully with the health of the player. And it isn't just lately, but, you know, years ago, you know, Hal McCrae did the rolling block and they outlawed it, you know. So I have no problem with protecting the catcher like we did recently and what happens at second base. I think it's, you know, you play hard, you play smart, but you can go over the line and we ought to legislate that.
Chief baseball officer for the Arizona Diamondbacks and three-time World Series champion, four-time manager of the year, Tony La Russa joins us. He's at the Joe Carter Classic down at Eagles Nest Golf and Country Club. Listen, you've been at the game around a long time. You've managed since 78 up to 2011, obviously now in a more official and administrative and presidential role with the Diamondbacks. The best hitter you've ever coached, the best hitter you've ever coached, or the best hitter you've ever seen in the game?
Well, I mean, that's really a difficult one because, you know, I hate not answering questions. Probably not what you – but, you know, back in Chicago, you know, we had Harold Baines, who, if he had decent knees, would have had over 3,000 hits. You know, you had Greg Luzinski, you had Carlton Fisk. Then you go to Oakland, you have all of those bevy guys. You had Ricky, you had Jose, you had Mark, and Carney Lance. But I will say, with everything put together, maybe it's the most recent. When I was in St. Louis with Albert Pujols, after a couple of years, and we were together 11 years, I ended up saying his initial is Albert P. Pujols, and P stood for perfect. And I meant that on and off the field. But as a hitter, I believe, and you know, the record book said it, he was the first guy in the first 10 years of his career hit over 300, over 30 home runs, over 100 RBIs. He is just a... he had a way to adapt, and you know there was one way to pitch him. There's some great ones around, believe me. I'm not saying I was more great, but he's in that conversation.
If you see Robbie Alomar today, will you have words with him over 92?
You know, we were talking. Of course, Joe Carter is with us in the Diamondbacks now, and now they're in Toronto. You know, we've been around a lot of guys. I was with Kelly Gruber yesterday, and
that must have been an eye opener, huh?
No, yeah, but we had great. I'm talking about great competitions. The A's and the Toronto Blue Jays were both so talented and hard-nosed, man. I mean, it really got kind of sparky at times. But the point of this is people look at Dennis Eckersley and the Gibson home run, and that hurt. But he will tell you the one that still haunts him today was Robbie's home run in Game 4 in 1992. And it was just, you know, Devon White's there. You know, we talked about it as well. It's just that home run hurt the most. For me, getting the Gibson hit home run in the World Series was haunts more, but not to act, man. He was forever to this day. If he sees Robbie, he walks in the other direction.
Really? That's awesome.
And they're both Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Well, that's an awkward Hall of Fame dinner then, isn't it? Especially if they're seated next to each other. Hey, listen, Tony, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Go golf. Enjoy your day, and thanks for taking time out. Enjoy the Joe Carter Classic today.
All right. Anytime, fellas. Thank you.
Take care. That's Tony La Russa. We just talked to Tony La Russa and Dan Marino.
And Joe Carter.
It's not bad. That's awesome. 26 minutes.
It is awesome.
Hey, how's your job today? Mine's not bad. 8:26. NBA draft tee up with Eric Smith and your fail of the day coming up. A little late, but better late than never. That's coming up next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
8:33. This hour is brought to you by Jack Link's Hangry Moments. This hour of Dean Blundell and Company brought to you by Jack Link's Hangry Moments. You're not hungry. You're hangry. Chill out. You know how you figure that thing out. Grab a bag of delicious Jack Link's beef, turkey, chicken, pork jerky. They got it all. Hot flavors, sweet flavors, teriyaki, peppered, small batch bacon. They got it all. Put it in your mouth. Relax. Feed your wild side with Jack Link's beef jerky. Eric Smith standing by. He is in New York City patiently awaiting to see who the Toronto Raptors draft at number 9 and number 27 in the first round of the NBA draft. That goes today. We'll check in with him next. Right now it is time for an update. Here's Captain Sirius.
Hey, Dean, and it's brought to you by Barbecue World. Blue Jays got homers from Russ Martin, Tulo, and Edwin in a 5-2 win over Arizona at Rogers Center yesterday. J-Hap was okay in 5 innings, while the bullpen was just great. Jays off tonight before they open the lid on a 3-game set in Chicago tomorrow night. Here at Sportsnet 590, The Fan, or watch it on Sportsnet 1. Yeah, it's official. Vegas is getting an NHL team for the 2017-2018 season. The NHL awards also went down from Sin City. Pat Kane won the Hart. Braden Holtby won the Vezina Trophy. And you mentioned, Dean, NBA draft goes down tonight in Brooklyn. 7 o'clock. Raps have the 9th and 27th pick. Watch it on Sportsnet or the Sportsnet app.
Yeah, the Knicks have absolutely nothing going on in the first round, so they make a big move.
Shocker, the Knicks make a bad deal and earn in the draft?
Well, this one's interesting. Joining us to discuss that and your Toronto Raptors, please welcome from Sportsnet 590, play-by-play for the Toronto Raptors, Mr. Eric Smith. Smitty. Yeah. Do people call you Smitty? Anybody?
Not many.
You don't like it, do you?
I really hate it, actually.
Do you?
But that's all right.
Any other nicknames or just Eric?
No, usually it's E.
E. So you don't mind E?
Yeah, just I think it started after the whole Entourage thing or something, and I don't know, it's stuck.
Yeah.
So you can call me whatever you like.
I'll just call you Eric.
Sure, that'll work too.
I'm going to head back to Old Faithful, your birth name.
That works, Dan.
All right. I'll take that. I don't really care at this point either, man. Thanks for doing this. How's New York City? There's more buzzing over the Derrick Rose trade?
Yeah, you know what? About 10 minutes after that deal went down, I was just wandering to the streets to go grab a coffee yesterday, and I passed a guy in a Knicks jersey, and I just, you know, happened to decide, you know, I'm going to talk to one of 8 million people here and go, you heard about the trade, right? He's like, no, what do you mean? I said, the Knicks made a trade. Oh, what'd they do now? I said, well, they just got Derrick Rose, and I can't repeat what he said on the air, but he was pretty jacked up about it, and then it just seemed like word was filtering around because I ended up walking in and got a coffee, heard of some other people talking about the trade, so they're definitely buzzing about it, and I think it's a case of, to me, you know, low risk and potential high reward. I thought the package that New York gave up to get him was not that bad.
That was light.
Was not that much. And I think, you know, for Derrick Rose and the talent that he could have, again, knock on wood, if he's healthy, I think it's a gamble worth taking for a guy that's going to be playing in a contract year. You know, he's only got to leave it on the floor if he's going to earn a next big contract.
Yeah, it's a weird one, though. Yeah, I heard about it, and I knew he was on the block, as was the rumor Jimmy Butler's also on the block as well. Derrick Rose from the Bulls for Robin Lopez, Jose Calderon, and guard Jerry and Grant, and you're familiar, obviously, with Jose. But I thought this was strange because, you know, at the age of 22, dude's an MVP of the league, and he has been nothing but an injury factory over the past few years. So what are they getting? Are they getting a guy who just is perennially injured? Are they getting a guy who just needs a change of scenery? What are the Knicks get? Because I tell you, him and Carmelo, it could be a pretty good fix.
Porzingis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when you think about Carmelo, Porzingis, and now Derrick Rose, and there's strong rumblings already, whether this is good or bad, that Dwight Howard is intrigued now by the situation in New York. You've also got Pau Gasol as a free agent who might look to potentially join Derrick Rose and go to New York, and, of course, the connection with Phil Jackson. You've got a new coach there and Jeff Hornacek as well. So, to me, this is a potentially very good move. To your question, though, Dean, about what they're getting, I think they're getting everything you just said. They're getting a guy that has the potential to still be an absolute star, a former MVP, but they're also getting a guy who's played, I believe, in less than half his games over the last couple of years. And a guy that I know in Chicago, the most frustrating thing was from game to game, literally, if not week to week, you were wondering, is he playing tonight? Is he going to go? Is he able to play? Is the knee tweaked again? Is it flaring up again? Is there an issue? And I think a lot of it, from folks I talked to in Chicago, it ended up becoming, not that he wasn't hurt, I think he was legitimately dealing with things, but it was also a case of mentally, where was he at in terms of how's my body going to respond? Am I healthy enough to go? Can I play through this? Do I want to play through this? Because when he did play, he was still fabulous. You know, I can think of even just a couple of games against the Raptors that he played. And you know, I think for Chicago, it was a case of this guy's going to be a free agent in a year. If we can get something for him now, is he going to return? Can we put up with this, you know, the injury issues going forward? Is it going to be a problem? And I think also it's sort of a passing of the torch to Jimmy Butler. And it can't have been an easy decision for Chicago, considering you're trading away the hometown kid as well. I mean, we're talking about the Chicago kid that went there and helped save the franchise when Chicago got that top pick. And all of a sudden, you know, not that many years later, he is dealt out of town.
Yeah, it's an interesting trade. Either way, it's done. New York has a little bit of hope. Obviously, not having a first-round pick in this year's draft, thanks to the Toronto Raptors, and more importantly, Masai Ujiri, who picks eighth because of that Andrea Bargnani trade, and 27th. Real quick, is he trading the pick? Is he making the pick? What do you think happens tonight?
You know what? I think yesterday's trades, even when you think about the deal that also went down with Indiana, Utah, and Atlanta with Jeff Teague and George Hill in the move, yeah. I think Masai Ujiri, if he wasn't thinking, you know, I think he was thinking trade. I think he's considering a ton of options right now. I honestly don't know if he's going to trade or draft tonight, but I think yesterday's deal maybe put a lot of teams on notice in terms of, you know, reactionary type mode. I think the tough thing for Toronto is you're in a win now mode. In terms of having made the playoffs for three straight years, coming off your most successful season and a couple of wins shy of making it to the actual NBA Finals, I don't know that you have time to groom yet another youngster when you think about Norm Powell and DeLon Wright and Lucas Nagare and even throwing Bruno Caboclo in the mix. So I think there's definitely the potential for a deal tonight, but I don't think that number 9 pick is going to fetch you what you need in return on its own. It would have to be the pick and a player, I believe, if you're going to make a deal of any kind of impact. And the worst case scenario is you got a top 10 pick and there are guys on the board or that should be on the board when you select that could fill the need that you have in terms of power forward. That's the greatest need the Raptors have. And when you think of guys like Domantas Sabonis or Henry Ellenson, there's a couple other guys when you think of bigs that could be available that could help Toronto fill that need that they have at that power forward spot.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by Ellenson and only because he used to be a guard and then he had like a foot and a half growth spurt in high school. So he handles the ball well. Apparently his mechanics are great and he can shoot the ball and put it on the floor. So I'm intrigued by him if they pick him. But who are you intrigued by and what do you think if they do make that pick, where do you think they'll go with it?
I think the biggest one that I'm intrigued by in terms of, you know, you also have to throw into the mix the potential for a Jamal Murray slipping. I don't think he slips all the way down to 9. I think he actually potentially goes in the top 5, but he's an interesting guy to watch. Jaylen Brown, I think, is another intriguing name, but he's not a power forward playing at that wing position. But could that fill a void if you were to make a deal if somebody from your existing roster was traded? And, of course, you have the DeRozan question hanging over you. But I think for me, Dean, you mentioned Ellenson. I think Sabonis is the big that intrigues me the most because of the fact that he can score, but he's also got size and rebounds. And I think that for Toronto...
Can he pass like his dad?
He doesn't have hands like his dad, but I think he's got pretty good hands. And obviously, you mentioned the pedigree. That's huge in terms of growing up around the game and growing up around him, let alone what he's now done for himself to you know, become a pretty damn good individual player on his own. But I think if you're looking long-term, you're not talking about necessarily next year step in, be our starting power forward, be a stud from the get-go. Hey, that'd be great. But if you're looking to projecting, we need somebody alongside Jonas Valanciunas. That's what Masai Ujiri's got to be thinking, who can rebound, who can help play some defense. But that's the issue there, is can he defend? He can rebound. He can score, but can he defend at this next level? Because that's obviously something that Valanciunas has had to grow with and continue to try and strengthen. So you don't want to weaken yourself defensively, especially on a Dwayne Casey team. So this is going to be a very interesting selection tonight, I think, in terms of how it all goes down.
Eric, you mentioned the name Jamal Murray. Is there a scenario where if he slips a little bit, the Raptors trade up to get him?
I don't know that they would, George. Because as intriguing as he is as a talent, I think you need to keep your trade chips for filling the true need that you have in your team, and I think it is defense, rebounding, specifically power forward. I mean, that's the biggest issue right now for the Raptors. When you think about your guards, you don't want to pass necessarily on a talent, let alone a talent that also happens to be Canadian. But you've got a Corey Joseph. You've got, obviously, Kyle Lowry. You've got Terrence Ross for now. You've got, I believe, you know, DeMar DeRozan being re-signed. You've got Norm Powell. You've got DeLon Wright. You've got a lot of guards. But I think if you're going to make a trade and use your chips, those chips have to be used to fill power forward. What do you have right now? You've got Jonas Valanciunas, you've got Patrick Patterson, and I guess you throw in Lucas Negre, who's not playing at the four spot. Luis Scola is a free agent. He's not going to be back. Bismack Biyombo, who wasn't really playing the four anyways, is a free agent. What do you have right now? So you need to get some size on this team, and whether it's via the draft or via trade or obviously in free agency in another week or so, the pieces that you have, the four first-round draft picks over the next 2 years, existing players on your roster, I think those would have to be moved or potentially moved for a big man, not for yet another guard.
Eric Smith joins us live from New York. The draft goes down tonight. The NBA draft, Raptors pick 9th and 27th. Eric, of course, the voice of the Toronto Raptors here on Sportsnet 590, the fan that goes without saying. Eric, real quick, worst pick the Raptors have ever made at the draft?
Oh, come on, Hoffa.
What happened to him? He played like 4 years here, went to not even 3 years, and went to Utah, and I think he's opening beer bottles with his pecs.
You know what? He's probably still living off some of the cash he made, too, so good for him. And, you know, last I remember hearing a few years back, he was actually still playing some pro ball down in his native land down in Brazil. And, you know what? Worst part was, you probably say this about so many guys over the years, he was a great guy. He just, you know, he was
sucked.
An NBA caliber talent. And it was one that clearly the Toronto Raptors missed on. I mean, I can all give you like Alex Radojevic as well. I mean, there have been a few over the years, but there's no denying when you pass on Andre Iguodala and end up drafting Rafael Araujo.
Oh, my God, stop, Eric.
A little bit.
Best pick they've ever made.
Oh boy, man. Well, I guess technically speaking, they didn't make the pick, but they really did because the trade was already orchestrated before the selections were made.
Well, Vince.
So it's got to be Vince Carter.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. I mean, the one thing I do over the past few years watching Masai Ujiri and his crew operate is I trust them. So we'll see what happens today. Maybe they find some diamonds in the rough like they did with Norm Powell. But appreciate you doing this. Enjoy New York. Have fun tonight, man.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Take care. Eric Smith, the voice of the Toronto Raptors here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Your fail of the day, next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Dean Blundell and Company's fail of the day.
That's when I blow it.
You blew it!
Speaking of blowing it, your fail of the day comes from Euro 2016, not UEFA.
No, it's not.
I don't care. It's soccer. It's a tertiary sport. What?
I love soccer. You'd be nice.
It's a weird one. Adam Linden Lundqvist, a Swedish player, was sent off yesterday for apparently passing gas. Got a red card for it. Now you go, running around the entire stadium. If he blows one, big deal. But no. Apparently, he said he had a tummy ache, which caused him to pass gas. Referee overheard the rumblings from below and was so upset with the fact that he did it right in front of him, he gave him a second yellow card and then sent him off. This is from the guy who was sent off, Adam Lundqvist, saying, quote, I asked the referee, what, am I not allowed to break a little wind? No, he replied. I don't get it, but maybe he thought I farted in my hand and threw the fart at him.
That's old school move.
But I did not. I spoke to the referee after. I was annoyed, but there were no bad words. I just said he was a buffoon. In no way did I throw a fart at the referee. It's called the cup of soup, by the way.
Does it really work, though?
Big time.
Because I want it to work better than it actually does.
The striker for the opposition, his name is Christopher Lind, told the newspaper, hey, listen, I was standing a good distance away. I did hear the fart loud and clear. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen on the pitch, and I've been playing football since I was 8. But come on. What guy? You're running around. Stuff's moving. But I guess it was the action of going into the back of the area here once said wind had broken and capturing its essence and then, you know, can't get the stinker towards the referee. Anyway.
I thought guys stopped doing that when you were like 9 years old. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later the referee, Danny Kako.
Nine.
said, quote, I perceive this as a deliberate provocation. He did it on purpose, and it was inappropriate. He farted right in front of me. I gave him a yellow card, and then another one. There once was a player who stood and peed next to me on the pitch, too. I gave him a yellow card.
Yeah, so that's a yellow card.
How appropriate is that?
No kidding. You should drink some more water.
That is your fail of the day. I will tweet it for you, at it's Dean Blundell. Very special thank you to James Dodds and our friends at TD Bank and everybody at the Joe Carter Classic for making sure that we got a chance to enjoy the day with the likes of and on the air, if you missed it, Barry Larkin, Dan Marino, Tony La Russa, Joe Carter, Kenny Lofton joins us, George Lopez this morning. It was a lot of fun. Had a great time raising a lot of money down at Eagles Nest Golf and Country Club for children's charities, Children's Aid Foundation, the less privileged and the abused children that need our help. They've been doing it for 7 strong years, and it's sold out again this year. Thanks for that this morning. Have a great day. Up next, Jeff Blair with Jerry Howarth. And the Hour of Howarth. To start off here.
Can we hear Fabros real quick before we go?
Yes, sir. Coming up after 9 on the Jeff Blair Show.
That's creepy as hell.
That's arrest-worthy in certain spots. That's what that is. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.